This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
And some people will tell me, like, you know, I had this great, such a great Portland story. You can use it in your show, but I need to check because Portlandia may be using it.
Oh, dear.
So, like, that's actually happening. Like, people are, you know, like, your hot Portland experiences go to Portlandia first.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I don't know. Yeah, that seems kind of limiting, but there's so much to Portland, and it's really about your reaction. Like, is it like a culture shock thing from someone who comes from L.A., you know, experiencing it?
I think, first of all, I'm culture shocked anywhere. I think a lot of it is just being overly under-medicated, like being so neurotic and affected by everything that you could really put me in. I mean, I was continually freaked out when I was in Pittsburgh, you know what I mean? Like, well, and that city kind of deserves it, but just generally affected by cities that have really, really strong identities and strong, you know, and people, the free-spiritedness of Portland is very intense. And when I was doing Bust, every single time I would walk from, like, where I was being housed to the theater, I had a show from the moment I walked, you know, left my hotel to getting to the theater. I was just like, you won't believe what I've seen. You won't believe, like, you know, like I'd see, like, somebody on a little tiny bike with a machete or something. You know what I mean? I was constantly experiencing things that were, I don't know, affecting me, or I thought were hilarious, or that were stressful.
Or that just stood out. That just stood out to you. And I hope you got outside of downtown and experienced other parts of Portland.
I hope to God you're not in the Pearl District the whole time.
I know.
Portland. No, I only know four blocks, but I think it's going to be a great show, and I hope that doesn't affect it, that I only know the Whole Foods, and I know Anthropology, but it's going to be a lot of funny stories about the retail of the Pearl District. No, I really have to make an effort. Like, I have to, like, I'm going to get on a bus.
Right.
And get outside and see the actual Portland. And what the great thing about this show that I'm really excited about that I've never done before is that, that sounds like such a, like, cheesy sales pitch, but it's true, that I'll be able to continually change the show every night. So I'm going to continue to, I mean, I'll be in Portland while I'm there, and I'm still going to be doing, you know, experiencing stuff, going out, doing things, you know, like the Portland people do. And so I'll be able to, I don't have to stop with my material gathering when the show opens.
Well, so people could tweet you and say, oh, check out this and check out that. And then you're going to sort of, you know, maybe take it and then incorporate it into your show.
Oh, it's so, yes. And that's the awesome thing about this show is that every time I go there, people are like, we're naked, we're doing bear bowling, you know, come or not, it's up to you. And I'm like, oh, my God.
You know, I've never seen that. I have seen naked bike riding, but I haven't seen
that. That I hear about all the time. People are like, naked bike riding, pals and food trucks. And I'm like, okay, that's done.
Yeah, that's done. Let's find something else.
Yes.
Well, you know, you actually are from Seattle. I mean, you're no stranger to the Northwest.
I'm not from Seattle. I always say that because I feel like my closest friends are in Seattle.
Oh, okay, okay.
And it says on my IMDb page.
Yeah.
So dumb as that's a reference. But anyway, I don't know why I never change it. I'm from Indianapolis.
Okay.
I'm from the Midwest. I mean, I lived in Seattle for 5 years.
Okay, and so Portland is definitely different from the Midwest, and I know that for sure.
That's a given, isn't it? Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Definitely. And I've only was in Indianapolis until I was like 18, and then I've been, you know, all over the place. But
Well, give us some examples of the weird stuff you cover. What is the Portland weird stuff?
Well, you know, and let me just say, too, that I'm not only going for, like, because it's so easy to find weird, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's almost too easy. I also wanted just to know what attracted people to Portland, and I wanted to know, like, the one thing I was into, but I could never find this guy. He would never, he would say he was going to meet up with me, that he kept canceling, I met this guy, I was like, I'm the only Republican in Portland. You met him. I'm the Republican.
Oh, really?
Right, of course he's not.
Well, I think that's a false claim. But
yeah, of course. But I like the idea that he was so like, it's me. I'm fighting the battle of the one Republican. And then but every time I try to get together with him, because he was very like, oh, of course, I want to show you around. I want to tell you about my Portland. I was like, yeah, bring it on. And then he would, every time we'd have a date to do something, date was not sexual, but a time stuff, that he would give me somebody else. He would hand me off to, like, he gave me this woman, gave me. Like, I am, like, ordering.
He pawned you off to another Republican?
No, he gave me somebody even better, so I have no problem with that. Like, I introduced me to this woman who was in her 80s, and she was getting ready to do a Harley-Davidson ride on the Route 66. And she was a veteran, also a lesbian. And she, I met her at this, it was a veterans, God, there's a name for it, and I don't know it off the top of my head, in the convention center where they have all these services for veterans, where you can come in, like, I don't know if it happens once a month or something, you can come in and get, like, a haircut.
Oh.
And get, yeah, well, I felt like that was a good.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, it was totally cool. And so, I mean, and the night before, I was ecstatic dancing, you know what I mean? Like, I was having an anxiety attack as, you know, naked people, were, you know, it was. Anyway, so I'm doing that the night before, or everyone wants to take me to a strip club. That's also like,
yeah.
I've had enough. Yeah, exactly. You're like, oh, no, this one's different. And I'm like, well, it still seems like naked girls like dancing for men my dad's age, but okay, it's vegan, so that is kind of a twist. But I've seen, like when I met with this woman at the convention center, and then she wanted to introduce me to her neighborhood, her block. Like she has this incredible community around her, and that's something I'm looking forward to doing when I get there. And it's not only what I'm taking in, but what Portland's offering me. It's always sort of my interaction with the person and what's going on with me, too. I'm pretty self-absorbed is kind of the given, I guess.
Well, are you prepared to be either loved or not loved
oh, God,
by Portland?
Are you kidding? I'm so, like, every time I have hidden behind, doing solo theater is a given of, like, oh, here comes the narcissistic nightmare. And I get that, but I've always written plays and done things that are hopefully bigger than me. And this time it is fully saying, God, I'm so interesting. This I went to the grocery store. Like, look what I saw. Like, it might take so. And I'm so aware that that's so off-putting, especially the Portlanders, you know, because they act like they have an, not they, but people are like, you know, well, oh, it makes, like, as if they see my narcissism that I'm not aware of, you know. Like, that may happen. Of course it's going to happen. And sometimes there's sleepy audience people too. You know, they've got sometimes an older subscriber base, and that's always challenging.
Well, you know, you're doing a solo show, so it is about you, but it's also about everybody around you and whoever you experience. You know, and so some of that's going to be a lot of fun, and some of that's going to be insightful. So I'm really looking forward to this.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to doing it because I'm still very excited about the free form of it all. I think it's going to be pretty amazing. And
it sounds like, you know, you're open to suggestions. So Lauren Weedman, I hope you have a rousing success with your show, and
thank
I really look forward to seeing you on stage again. And thanks for chatting with me today. And enjoy the Joshua Tree. It sounds like
you.
A magnificent place to be.
Yeah. Well, but I'd still rather be in Portland.
Uh-huh. We'll see you soon. Thanks
right,
so
good.
Much for joining us.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, Portland Center Stage presents The People's Republic of Portland by and starring Lauren Weedman. It runs April 23rd through June 16th in the Ellen By Studio Performance. Times are Tuesday through Sunday evenings at 7:30 p.m., Saturdays and Sunday matinees at 2 p.m., and Thursday matinees at noon. And you can get tickets at pcs.org or 503-445-3700. And we have a pair of tickets for your membership today. So I want to check in with Pledge Central, and I want to see, you know, I want to start hearing some phones ring. Justin, are you there?
I am here, Dime. Thank you very much. I'm joined by Ivan. And yes, we are briefly interrupting stage and studio with our august host, Dime Roberts, to entice you, cajole you over to the phone to change some pocket change into social change. Toll free, 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KABU. You can do that online at kboo.fm. And indeed, I do have tickets for a minimum $100 gift to any play between now and May 5th at Portland Center Stage.
And you know, that's almost $100 value, I have to tell you. I mean, that's like such a great deal.
It's got a $90 value, so you're not leaving a lot of money to KABU, but we get to count you. We get to add you to the rolls. You become a stakeholder. Maybe a $70 donation is more your speed. We can give you a pair of tickets to any show at the
Milagro Theater,
at the Milagro
or Miracle
Theater, this season or next season. That's a modest $70 gift. And you know what else? A $40 retail value there. That means you get a $30 tax deduction next year on your taxes. You keep the money here serving the entire community rather than going to the drone wars. So call us, introduce yourself. Let's put those tickets in your hands. 877 800-500-5266. I've got Ivan here with me. Dima, it's her first day pitching. Let's give her a shot.
Hi, Ivan. It's so good to have you here in supporting Station Studio, and I hope people call in right now. What are those numbers?
Those numbers, Dima, are 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. You know, it's a small price to pay for these amazing thank you gifts and the amazing membership that you could have today by calling 877-500-5266. It's a good place to put your money. It's a powerful place to put your money. It's community supported. It's community radio. KBOO.FM. 877-500-5266.
Well said. I'm actually hoping someone might be able to give $170 on their credit card today. I know that sounds like a lot, but it amounts to less than 50 cents a day over the year towards the $2,000. And since you love going to see the theater, we could give you a pair of tickets to Portland Center Stage for any performance between now and May 5th and a pair of tickets to the Milagro Theater for any show this season or next season. That's $170 on a credit card. And let me just point out, we have a very modest goal for Stage and Studio today. It's $400, and there are thousands of you listening. Perhaps four of you could start a sustaining membership of a modest $10 a month or 33 cents a day. That would take us over our goal, and it would show D-May some appreciation for 16 years of sitting in the booth and bringing you news, information about Stage and Studio. Won't you do that right now? Toll free, 877-500-5266. That's toll free, 877-500-KBOO. You can also do that online at kboo.fm.
Come down to the station. Support local broadcasting at 20 Southeast 8th. You can be live and check out the voices and put the faces to the voices that you hear every day. Dima, who's been volunteering 10 to 20 hours per week to bring you Stage and Studio, to bring you live performance, 877-500-5266. Portland Art. It's a thriving community, and KBOO is a thriving community radio station that relies on your support. KBOO.FM.
It's hard to argue that D-May isn't doing her part. And, you know, we've got such a range of different talent here at KBOO. So Ivan was talking earlier about this is her first time on the
first
mic
time.
And that's fabulous. And D-May is a Peabody Award winning radio journalist, and you've seen her work on PBS and all over the place. And it's amazing that we have all of this range and everyone in between. It's another reason we ask you to support us. Call us right now. Introduce yourself. Show some support for D-May Roberts and the radio station that brings her to you. Toll free, 877-500-5266 or online securely from any wired box on earth at kboo.fm.
I'm D. May Roberts, Stage and Studio. Joining us right now is Kelsey Tyler, Education and Community Programs Director of we're going to talk about Clyburn Park by Bruce Norris. So, Kelsey, are you there?
I am.
Hey,
hello.
Good morning. So, Clyburn Park by Bruce Norris, it's a comedy with serious themes about a black family moving into a white neighborhood in the 1950s. And Kelsey, one of my favorite plays of her generation is Lorraine Hansberry's A Raisin in the Sun. And I recall the story of that, in which the family wants to leave the inner city to move to Clyburn Park in Chicago. And the neighborhood association offers them a deal not to move there, which they don't take, which is awesome. Spoiler alert. But in many ways, is this a sequel of sorts to A Raisin in the Sun?
I don't know if I'd really call it a sequel, but it does take off kind of where that one ends in terms of the house. So this focuses in Lorraine Hansberry's A Raisin in the Sun. We see the Lomaxes wanting to move into Clybourne Park. And in Clybourne Park, we see the house they're planning on buying and who lives there now in 1959. Mm. And how that couple and the neighborhood are going to deal with the first African-American homebuyers coming into the neighborhood.
Well, this play is actually split from contemporary time, Clyburn Park, and in the 1950s when that happens. And this whole this whole play takes place before the Fair Housing Act, if you know, which is hard to recall that, but it's part of the Civil Rights Act of 1968, and that you know actually made it allowable, you know, for non-discrimination, which it was allowed before that. Now, you recently went on a fair housing tour, a history tour of Portland, and I wonder, what did you learn about how Clyburn Park and that history relates to Portland's history?
We learned a lot, actually, on the Fair Housing Council tour of discrimination. And actually, I went on the tour last fall as a guest of Diane Hess, their education director. And in her attempts to get us to excited about some partnerships, and I was so blown away that I told the director and our artistic director, Chris Coleman, that he needed to go on this, and was there any interest for the cast to go on the tour? And what's been really fun is, although there aren't maybe very clear direct connections, he has repeatedly said that the tour has informed their portrayals in rehearsal. It certainly has informed what they're doing in rehearsal in preparing this play. And I think, what struck me most on the tour was the exclusion laws, the redlining, the legacy Emmanuel Hospital in the Coliseum getting constructed in our Albina neighborhood, and what that did to the African-American community. And it certainly transfers into a conversation about housing and race and gentrification, which I think are main themes in the play. And it's just a conversation that's going on around our city, I believe.
It still continues.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Clyburn Park is a Tony and Pulitzer Prize winning play, and it really has connected well with theater audience. Why do you think so?
Well, I think Bruce Norris, he's just, not only is he bringing up tough subjects that I think everybody's dealing with, and I think here in Oregon, maybe we're just hesitant to talk about, and now we are finding venues to talk about these difficult conversations on race and housing, but he does it so brilliantly with a sense of humor. So you're kind of laughing through your gritted teeth. He approaches these hard subjects with humor, and I think that is so brilliant, and it makes it very accessible to all audiences, and definitely the modern audience.
Well, I think there's so many opportunities for audience talkbacks, and you've got so many planned at Portland Center Stage, because I think there'll be so much for people who to talk about, and they'll want to talk about this. What are some of the range of ideas and topics that you're going to cover in these audience talkbacks?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm really excited, and actually, I should point out, every single performance will have a talkback of some sort.
Yeah, I noticed it's a huge schedule.
Most of them will be just kind of basic Q&A with the actors. But we also, on our weekend matinees, we have specific specialists around the city, like Jesse Beeson, who's currently the executive director of Proud Ground, Karen Gibson of PSU's Urban Planning Department, who's basically written a lot of papers on Albina gentrification. We have Reverend Dr. W.G. Hardy from Highland Christian Center, and Donna Maxey, the director and founder of Race Talks. We have the Fair Housing Council. So if you come to a weekend matinee, you can be assured to hear some great speakers with really interesting perspectives.
Well, some of them. Just give us an example of a couple others that are going to be there to talk.
We also have Felicia Tripp. She's the Deputy Director of Portland Housing Center, and she'll be talking with Lisa K. Bates from PSU's School of Urban Planning. And I actually saw Lisa give a talk at PSU on race and housing, and Felicia was there as a guest, but she stood up and she had some great insight, and apparently at the Portland Housing Center, she's an instructor for people who are looking to buy a house. Often these are people who don't necessarily think they have the means or could use some education on just what the process is. So she actually teaches classes on what that process is and what programs are out there to help people buy a home. And I think that that is so important in tying to the play, and I'm excited to hear her perspective.
Well, I think it's great that you have all of this. It's really important to have an opportunity for people to delve into some of the topics, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, and what I'm finding is people want to talk. You hit it on the nose when you said people will want to talk after this. The play encourages that. It brings up a lot of interesting and fascinating and sensitive ideas and thoughts that we're dealing with in our city, and people we're finding want to talk about it, and I can't wait. I can't wait to have the conversation.
Well, I'm looking forward to Clyburn Park. Kelsey Tyler of Portland Center Stage, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Dima.
You take care.
Spring.
Yeah, you too.
Bye.
Clyburn Park by Bruce Norris runs through, April. I have the dates, actually, but the show times are 7:30 p.m. Tuesday through Sunday, and 2 p.m. matinees on Sundays, and select Saturdays and matinees at noon on Thursdays. And you can go to pcs.org to reserve tickets, or you can call 503-445-3700. And we have some tickets, and they'll give us the dates over at Pledge Central. So we're going to check in with Pledge Central. We have some tickets to offer to Portland Center Stage, but how many are left, Justin and Ivan?
Yes, Dime, thank you. We have two tickets, just two pair of tickets to get any play until May 5th at $100 minimum donation.
Give us the dates of Clyburn Park, please.
Dates of Clyburn Park, I believe we are looking at April. It opens April 6th. Performances on Saturday, April 6th. Opens on Friday, April 12th. And runs through Sunday, May 5th, 2013.
Now, those tickets are good for the People's Republic of Portland as well as Clyburn Park. So I hope people call in. It's such a great deal. And what's the number to call?
That number, DMA, is 877-500-5266. For just a minimum $100 donation, you can get those tickets, though, two pair of tickets for any play until May 5th, or for a $70 donation, you can get any tickets, any play this season or next season at the Milagro or Miracle Theater.
That's absolutely right, but it starts and ends with you putting a price on this vital community resource. Pennies, nickels, and dimes, dollars, whatever it is, we need to hear from you in order to get these tickets into your hands. 877-500-5266. That's a toll-free number, 877-500-KBOO. You can always do that online at kboo.fm securely. And while you're there, why don't you check out our KBOO poster contest, and you might win one of those. Folks, only $220 to go to make sure the D-May hits her goal. That tells me that if two of you would start that sustaining membership of $10 a month, that's just 33 cents out of the $2,000 a day your station costs. Won't you call us and introduce yourself right now? 877-500-5266. Thank you so much to David in Lake Oswego for renewing. And David's going to see a performance at Portland Center Stage. There's only two pairs left, so call us right now. 877-500-5266. Thanks to Jim in Salem for renewing your membership, Jim. And Jim got the 4 GB audio flash drive, and this is all pure KBOO content with folks like Ralph Nader, Helen Caldicott, David Barsamian, Winona LaDuke, Noam Chomsky, Amy Goodman, Vandana Shiva, on and on and on, the patron saints of KBOO, and that's waiting to be yours if you could start that sustaining membership of $120. But the real gift is the quality of signal that you get when you made it possible. The real gift is saying thank you to D-May for having done this for a long time. That doesn't make her older. That makes her seasoned and experienced.
I started when I was 12, okay? So Justin, you know, we also have tickets to Milagro Theater. And last week I had Olga Sanchez on at Milagro, and we talked about this play called Guapa by Caridad's Fitch. And it's about this rising soccer star. And soccer's really big in Portland right now. But Milagro is doing such incredible work with telling often untold stories of the Latino community. And this is an incredible offer. A pair of tickets to, what, $70 for any of Milagro's season. Is that correct for the
that's
rest of
correct.
This? Even next year. So, I mean, that's quite an offer there.
Well, we can't give those tickets until people call up and introduce themselves at 877-500-5266. 800-500-5266.
What's that number again?
It's 877-500-5266.
Okay, I want to ask again, but I really want people to call.
I want to mention that there are only three pairs of tickets to any show of your choice at Milagro Theater, so we expect to give those away. And I want to mention again, that's a $40 retail value, which means you get a $30 tax deduction next year, and that's money that stays here in the community, serving the entire community. Won't you call right now? 877-500-5266.
Yeah, and I want to mention there's just two pairs of tickets left for Portland Center Stage. That's any play until May 5th at a minimum donation of $100. That's a $90 retail value, and that is a gift that you can, if you call today, you can come down to the station in person Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. to pick up those tickets. And I believe the Milagro Theater, the GWAPA, I believe that stands for handsome. So you can come down, see your local broadcaster, see how handsome we all are, and the matching to our voices and our handsome voices, and just bringing you the amazing programming that we do.
Well,
at 877-500-5266.
And I want to do a shout out to people who have won tickets throughout the last 6 months. Where are you? Where are you when we need you? 1-877-500-5266. Where are you, all the artists that I've had on the show? Where are you?
Well,
give us a call now. Support this show. Support KBOO and arts programming on KBOO. 1-877-500-5266, or go KBOO.fm.
Well, what's really important to remember is the only way we're able to give away tickets every week all year long is because you in Radioland answer the call now by making that call to 877-500-KBOO. I still would like to encourage some people to consider doing $170. It seems like a lot, but it amounts to less than 50 cents a day towards the $2,000, and then we could give you one of those pairs to Portland Center Stage and one of those pairs to Milagro Theater. But we can't get you out to the theater. I mean, Dee May has certainly dedicated herself to getting you folks out to the theater. Now's the time you do it by calling right now. 877-500-KBOO.
For 16 years, I've brought you in-depth interviews with writers, actors, directors, filmmakers, and artistic radio features and documentaries. And along the way, I've offered tickets to some great shows. So take some time to support the arts on Stage and Studio and KBOO. That's it for Stage and Studio. I'm Dee May Roberts. Don't forget to join the facebook.com/Stage and Studio page, or go to kboo.fm/Stage and Studio to hear this show again. I'm urging you to support KBOO and Stage and Studio. Without you, we don't have the community in community radio. Call now at 1-877-500-5266. Till next time, I'm Dee May Roberts.
Thanks for listening, and thanks, members, for supporting KBOO Portland. Coming up next, Art Focus is off today. Instead, we will hear an excerpt of the show Economic Update with host Richard Wolff. His guest is Professor Victor Wallace, editor of the journal Socialism and Democracy. He also writes for Capitalism, Nature, Socialism, and the Monthly Review.
Today, I'm very proud to say we'll be talking about economics and ecology, the whole environmental question that surges periodically and is always around us. So let me now welcome to the program and introduce Victor Wallace. Victor, I'm glad you were able to join us today.
Thank you, Rick.
Victor Wallace teaches in the liberal arts department at the Berklee College of Music, located in Boston. He's also the managing editor of a journal called Socialism and Democracy, which appears three times a year. If you're interested in pursuing it, you can find it online at sdonline.org. sdonline.org. He has written extensively on political ecology, on questions of the environment. His articles have appeared in Monthly Review, Capitalism, Nature, Socialism, and Organization and Environment. His work has been internationally recognized and translated, at latest count, into 9 languages. With so much that we hear, pro and con, up and down, as someone who watches this closely, could you tell us, in your own words, what you think the situation of our environment is now? How are we interacting as a human species with the physical environment around us? And how would you account for the condition you're about to describe?
The most striking thing to me, and I think that what we most need to think about, is how little any of what can be said about this is generally recognized by the public in the United States. I mean, we've just been through 2 weeks of international discussions on this issue in Durban, South Africa, and the coverage in the U.S. media has been virtually negligible. Now, the basic problems are well known to anybody who follows this, scientists and so on. It's not just climate change. It's all kinds of disruption. I mean, it's putting of excess carbon into the air, which is the clearest single change, has so many effects. In addition to all the extreme weather effects, it changes the composition of the oceans, the acidification of the oceans, which leads to the death of coral and to endangering lots of fish species. But apart from all the carbon effects and the weather effects from that, there's also the continuing destruction of habitat, the putting of toxins into the air, affecting agricultural land with genetically modified organisms, radiation from all kinds of sources, not just the famous nuclear thing, but all these high-tech means of communication, all kinds of things that are not usually taken into account. I mean, we just think of we just hear of the greenhouse gases and so on, but it's every dimension that's being affected, and the species loss and so on. So all this is well known. I don't claim to be a particular expert on actually describing this, but it's well known, and it's universally recognized by scientists. What's extraordinary is the amount of space and attention that's given in this country to people who pretend that all this is not happening. And that's what most preoccupies me, and which I think we all really need to think about how to respond to that situation.
So if I understand you, then you're saying that there's an accumulation over many years of a vast array of scientific information suggesting that we are damaging our environment in ways that is dangerous for us, even in terms of our survival.
Absolutely.
Why is that so little known? Why have those who have pretended to be critics of all of this, pretended that there's contradictory evidence, why have they done what they've done, and why have they been so successful?
Well, they've done what they've done. It's pretty transparent. I mean, ExxonMobil and the Chambers of Commerce and so on, who are front and center of this denialism, they don't want to interfere with the process of growth and accumulation of the capitalist economy. That's clear and straightforward. The ironic thing is that even those who claim to recognize that there's a problem don't challenge that assumption that it's desirable to continue to grow and have profit. So even those who recognize that there's a problem still give credence by giving attention to these people who deny it. So I mean, papers like the New York Times, for example, which is emblematic of this.